No matter where you turn in the Word of God, you will find that He is instructing and teaching you about life. Jesus used parables and miracles to help as we walk down life's road. Will you please stand as we read Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May we be blessed by the reading, and you may be seated. Miracles can be divided into two categories: healing miracles and nature miracles. This was a nature miracle. All miracles point to the future as well as to the present. I do not know about you, but as we walk from day to day on this old earth, we tend to find ourselves caught up in the storms of life. Everyone at one time or another has gone through some type of storm. And over the years, I have found that no one is immune from the storms of life. Jesus said, "You shall have tribulation." Some storms in our life come up so fast that we do not even see them coming. As a child, I remember fishing on Silcoos Lake near the coastal town of Florence with my dad and my grandfather and my younger brother. It started out being a beautiful day as we left the docks and headed out to my dad's favorite fishing hole. And suddenly, as we rounded around the tip of a landmass, a horrible storm came up. The boat was rocking, the waves were bouncing the boat, and the engine died. Dad had not checked the fuel level. Fortunately, there was a gas can on board. And the boat rolled and bounced, and I think half of the gas probably landed in the boat or in the lake. That area of Silcoos is like the Sea of Galilee. It's known for sudden storms to roll in. And sometimes you can see and hear the storms coming. At other times, there's not a warning. And like a ship, we try to find our path through the storm to safety. And I believe that sometimes we are our own worst enemies because we can cause our own storms. We can make the storm turn out to be worse than what it really is. However, I have found that we want to find God building bridges to get us over or through those storms. There are, or will be, times where Jesus will send us through a storm, just like he sent the disciples through that storm. We can also recall the three men in the fiery furnace. They were not delivered from the furnace, but into the furnace. We can also remember Daniel was not delivered from the lion's den. He was delivered into the lion's den. You see, God is not in the business of building bridges for us. And I'm sharing with you that during the storms of life, we have precious promises from our Heavenly Father. There is the promise of providence. Jesus knowingly may send you through a storm. Verse 22 tells us that Jesus told the disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Do you get the picture there? Jesus sent the disciples through a storm. Now, many of you may be asking, why would Jesus have them go through a storm? One answer may be to turn the 5,000 away from where Jesus was going. Jesus was going to a deserted place to pray, but the multitudes followed. Jesus had compassion on them. Another possible answer is he was going to send them through a storm of perfection. Sometimes we go through a storm of correction, just like Jonah, because of disobedience. But this is not so with the disciples. They had obeyed God. There's the promise of prayer. Jesus needed to be in prayer with his Father. He needed prayer for himself. And so Jesus went up into the mountains to pray. He's praying also for you and for me. He knew the disciples' need. Jesus could see that they were in trouble at sea. What they did not realize, however, was Jesus could see them in their darkest hour. We have the need to pray for ourselves. Many of us try to pray, and yet so few know how. And it's really so simple. It's just a conversation. I've found that there are two types of prayer: the ones that reach God and the ones that do not reach God. It is a rare privilege to pray because it will bring us into a closer fellowship with God. And we need to be specific in our prayers. Prayer is imperative for the believer. Luke 18:1 tells us, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And we must know the power of prayer. We learn in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Look at the source of answered prayers. It is the power that works within us. What is that power within us? It is the combined power of all that God has put within us, all that for which we're praying, the power of the Spirit strengthening us, the power of Christ indwelling us, the power of love working in us, the power of understanding all that God does, and the power of the fullness of God himself. Notice two things about power. The power of Elijah was the power of prayer. And for a moment, let's take a look at James 5, verses 16 through 18. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Verse 19 tells us, "Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." Look at the beginning of verse 17, which you don't have there, but the Bible says Elijah was just like us. That means we have the power of Elijah. And prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is seeking and finding. Prayer is knocking and opening. And Matthew 7:7 verifies this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Do not stop asking and asking like a child till dad says okay. Boy, sometimes Olivia drives me nuts asking questions. And I'm only grandpa. Do not stop seeking and seeking, like when you're looking for something you've lost. Do not stop knocking and knocking. You knock at the door long enough and they will open it. And prayer is also a channel of power. Look at what we're taught in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The power of prayer will bring the answer on the way. And in the book of Mark, we're taught that Jesus could have walked past the ship if they had not called out. Peter prayed the shortest prayer, but with power. Lord, save me. There's the promise of his presence and protection. Their lives were threatened. They were struggling for survival. And suddenly, out of nowhere, they saw a figure, an apparition, walking on the water. They were frightened, maybe bordering on going into shock. Maybe they were thinking the angel of death, or a premonition of their own death was at hand. And Peter's impulsive request seems to indicate this. And then suddenly, a voice shouted out, "It is I, be not afraid." Jesus gave assurance of his presence. And his sudden appearance, a presence on the water, was a great encouragement to the disciples. Still, they were not quite sure it was him. Lord, if it is you, his words and his presence are marvelous revelation of his care and his power to save us through the storms of life. Hebrews 13:5 reassures us, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But at that moment, the disciples felt like they were all alone. They forgot that Jesus sent them out. They forgot that Jesus knew what was going to happen. And they forgot that Jesus would always be with them. Over the years, I've been giving many wonderful copies of the poem Footprints. Every congregation that we have served has given us a copy of that. So rest assured, I'm not asking for another copy. Okay, I'm staying. So, the poem was written by Carolyn Joyce Carity. She wrote, One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to him and the other to God. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, When you see only one set of footprints, it is then that I carried you. When it is time, Jesus will be there. Maybe you do not understand why. Maybe you feel there are unexplained problems. Jesus told his followers, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of life and to the very end of the age." I believe that he is saying that to someone here today. Do not be afraid. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is here. He is ready to help anyone who will call out to him. His presence is most assuring, comforting, and strengthening to every Christ follower. There is the promise of his provision. Peter asked to walk out to Jesus. Now, before you criticize Peter, he did get out of the ship. He had more faith than the others. Sure, the trouble is there, but we can walk on it. Only two people in history have ever walked on water: Jesus and Peter. The man begins to walk towards Jesus, passing over the turbulent waves of life. But Peter lost heart, and he took his eyes off Jesus. He turned his attention away from Jesus to the storms of life. He began to sink. He cried out in desperation, "Lord, save me." And Christ reached out and saved him. The scriptures reassure us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul also told us, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." This is one of the greatest promises of Scripture. What is your greatest need today? Salvation. God provided it. I do not normally do this, but today I'm going to review what I've just shared. There is a great provider, God himself. No matter what the need is no greater than God. God can and he will meet your need. But notice the pronoun "my." It is my God who shall provide for these needs. It is your God who will provide for these needs, because he's the same God. There's the great assurance of provision. My God shall supply. There's no question about the provisions being supplied. God is God. Therefore, he can provide, and he will provide whatever provision we need. And there is the great provision, all your need. This promise refers not only to the physical needs for food, clothing, and shelter. It also applies and refers to the mental and the emotional and the social and spiritual needs. It refers to any need that arises, engulfs, or confronts you. No need will be omitted. No need will be overlooked. No need is too big, nor is any need too small. No need is unimportant. Not to God. Not if you are really experiencing the need. And there is the great resource, according to his riches and glory. Take all the riches, wealth, glory, and majesty of heaven. It is all available to meet your need. There is no limit, not even a fraction, to the greatest sources at God's disposal. God can provide for any need.